Amen. Good morning. I'm Pastor John. I'm our children's pastor here. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 4 today. Last night, was watching some TV, and one of the pawn shop shows, the reality shows, where it's the big weird pawn shop that, you know, actually doesn't have worthless junk in it like every pawn shop I've ever seen. And a guy brought in a book authored by and signed by Dwight Eisenhower, President Dwight Eisenhower. This book, come to find out, was a genuine book. It had Dwight Eisenhower's actual signature by his own hand in it. And apparently, his is one of the more rare signatures out there because he had an automatic pen that would sign his name. And so to actually find one that was signed by a real hand and not this auto pen, they called it, was fairly rare. But Dwight Eisenhower is one of those amazing people in history. And there's been some quotes by him, and there's been a lot of research by him. And this was said of Dwight Eisenhower by a leading historian. Within a few months of taking office, Dwight Eisenhower was known as the most religious president in our history. Very interesting, huh? That's not bad when you consider he was the supreme commander, that was his actual title, of NATO. He was the supreme commander of the forces in Europe during World War II. He mounted the largest invasion ever in history. That's quite a statement. When we think back through all history, the Huns inviting China, they ended up with a great wall there because of that. When you can see it from space, his invasion on D-Day was larger. He led the largest military operation in all history. That was North Africa. Just some amazing stuff that Dwight Eisenhower did. He founded the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, also known as DARPA. They invented this little thing called the Internet. That's Dwight Eisenhower. That's one of his children that came through. He started this little foundation called NASA that eventually shot the first American to the moon, or to space, and then later to the moon. He was the first president to actually enforce laws that every human, no matter what your skin color, had equal rights. Think about that. In our history, Dwight Eisenhower, first president, pretty good considering he was the most religious president ever, right? I mean, this sounds like a win for our side, doesn't it? But listen to this. If you do just a little bit of research, this wasn't hard to find. His leading biographer, it's actually president of the Miller Society, who follows Dwight Eisenhower and says he's one of the greatest leaders ever. He said this: President Eisenhower, like many Americans, was a very fervent believer in a very vague religion. Let me read that again. President Eisenhower, like many Americans, was a very fervent believer in a very vague religion. President Eisenhower actually grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. Both his parents were active in the Jehovah's Witness Society, or the Watchtower Society, raised him in that. He left that. He actually tried to distance himself from that. He was not a Jehovah's Witness, although that's where all his religious training came from. In 1953, just a very, very short time before taking the oath of office, he was baptized into the Presbyterian Church, or sprinkled. He said this about why he was baptized: "I don't believe the American people are going to follow anybody who's not a member of a church." I hope you've been here for one of our baptism services, and I hope you've heard the testimonies that are a whole lot more significant than that. See, Dwight Eisenhower was a great, great American, one of the greatest, as a matter of fact. He was a great military leader, one of the greatest. But when it comes to Christianity, he's not one of the heroes we look up to, because from all evidence, he probably wasn't even a Christian, although he professed to it. You see, not everyone who claims to speak for Christ actually has that right. Not everyone who claims to speak from Christ and have a message from God actually does. And 1 John chapter 4 deals with this very issue. So read with me now. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1 and go through verse 6. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to this, to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Pray with me one more time, congregation. Lord, we come and we ask that you would teach us. Holy Spirit, one of the names Jesus gave you was the Spirit of Truth. We ask, God, that you would reveal yourself to us, who you are, the truth. Jesus, that you would be highly exalted. Father, that you would convict our hearts and change us. God, you are good. And we confess that apart from you, we are nothing but evil. Lord, we ask that you would change our hearts, even today. Father, whether we've known you for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, Lord, or for the person here who's just kind of curious about what this whole Christian thing is, I ask that you would change us, God. May we believe rightly. May we know truth. Jesus, may we know you. It is because of you and in your name we pray. Amen. 1 John 4, 1 through 6 is a great passage. It's a very blunt passage. But it presents a problem, and then it presents the solution to the problem, and then it presents the background of the problem. It actually makes sense when we process through this. You'll kind of see John's flow of thought. But we're going to start with, what is the problem? That's your first blank in your bulletin if you're taking notes. The problem: not all spiritual messages are true. Now, we know that, right? I mean, there's a no-brainer there. There are different religions out there. We all know that. We know that there are about as many different flavors of Christianity as we can imagine. I had a professor say that the American pastime is not baseball. It's starting your own religion. But not all spiritual messages are true. They simply are not. Because there is a spirit behind the messengers. Many of the messages we hear are not from God, but are actually satanic, demonic spirits. And that is hard language. That's not the comfy kind of language, you know, that you hear in Sunday school a lot of the time. But we're bombarded by messages, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, the Discovery Channel, the music we listen to, TV, our daily interactions with friends, on my street. I know we have people from two different continents. We have people from two major world religions, and then we have people who don't have anything to do with God at all. That's my street. There are seven houses on my street. It's everywhere. The problem is, how do we know what's true and what's not? Look with me again in a little bit more detail on 1 John 4:1. Beloved. In other words, he's talking to the Christians here. He's talking to the folks who trust Christ. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. You see, just as Joe reminded us last week, that our Christian lives are marked by an empowering and a filling of God the Holy Spirit. False prophets or preachers, people who are giving a spiritual message out there, those speaking have a spiritual power behind them, whether they recognize it or not. Please understand, John's not saying every person who says something wrong about Jesus out there is in league with the devil and knows it. And I mean, they are worshiping the devil. That's not what John is saying. What John is saying is there is something behind every false message. No matter how innocent it might seem, no matter how nice the person might seem, a very genuine person may be completely deceived and may unintentionally speak lies. But the reality is that false teachings come from the source of all lies, the devil himself. The Bible in this passage says that a lie about God is not a simple mistake or a wrong opinion. In America, we tend to group religion or any religious statement or any spiritual statement. That's opinion. You have yours and I have mine. We'll figure it out someday in the good old by and by, and we'll just all get along. But the reality is, when it comes to Jesus himself, it's not opinion. Jesus himself makes the claim, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says there is something objective here, and it's a spiritual matter. It tends to seem maybe a little overkill in this passage, even maybe a little bit offensive. I have dear friends who have followed TV preachers, and they do not speak the true gospel, but let me tell you, they're some of the sweetest folks around. One of my dearest friends in high school and college, his grandpa with whom he lived, he didn't have a daddy, so to speak of at least, and his granddad was awesome. He loved that boy. That was who my friend looked up to as a dad. And he was one of Benny Hinn's followers. In deep. And it breaks my heart. Because the reality is that was a false teaching. And as much as I loved that guy, as nice a guy as he was, there was a spiritual reality behind those false teaching, those lies, that we're going to expose here in a little bit. John tells exactly what lies he's talking about. And it's sad. We have people around us who are Mormons, some of the nicest folks out there. We have people around us who are Buddhists, Hindus, sweet, peaceful folks. Folks who are Muslims, folks who are atheists. There is a spiritual reality behind this. Even if they say, this is just where I grew up, or this is just my understanding of the truth, there is something deeper to it than that. If you knew there was a bomb out in that parking lot, we have our parking lot attendants out there, and they're really nice. They don't think they're actually police officers and try to scare anybody or anything like that. But I used to go to a church, and the parking lot attendants there and the security officers, we called them the Barney Fife Patrol. All right? There was good reason we called them the Barney Fife Patrol. They thought they were the officers of the law, and they were going to protect all of us. One day, the children's pastor, who happened to be about 350 pounds and was a national championship wrestler in college, was counting from the balcony. One, two, three, that was his job. Real exciting stuff. That's what us children's pastors get to do. But suddenly, we hear this in the middle of Sunday night service. Shooter! Thump, 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 thump. All through. Security guards are running up to the upstairs. They tried to tackle him. That didn't go too well. And it was kind of funny. I'll say that. But if you knew there was a reality there, that there was something dangerous, what would you be like if you didn't tell me about it? If you knew out in, I'm about to kick stuff off, Jeff would get really mad at me. If you knew out in my truck or Jeep back there, you knew there was a car bomb, you saw the guy put it in there, and you didn't tell me, what kind of person would you be? You would do everything you could do to keep me out of that car. And guess what? I would probably be a turkey about it, think you were crazy, until that car blew up and I wasn't dead. And suddenly, my attitude toward you would be very grateful, wouldn't it? And folks, this is what John is setting up here, that there are multiple voices out there, and there's a spiritual reality behind them, and this is dangerous. This is a real, genuine problem for every person, Every single one of us out there. I mean, think about it. We see the cults, the folks, the really odd folks on the TV all the time. The person, you know, wearing like a weird tunic behind the barbed wire, you know, who's given all his money to some nutcase. Do you think when they were a teenager, they wanted to grow up and be a nut job on TV? There was no intent there. This wasn't the course they had planned for their lives, but they began to take in little false truths that seemed very, very innocent. One of the things about the Mormon church that attracts people most, free babysitting. Think about that. Awfully innocent, isn't it? Free babysitting? Have some really nice people take care of your kids? They don't start that they believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers. That's not where they start. So there's a test. We have a genuine problem here, but there is also a test that John gives us. Look in verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. We have a test. Just like in a retail store, they have the little pins that mark on the $20 bills to see if they're real. Christians have a test. And that test is, what do you say? What do you confess about Jesus Christ? Who do you say that He is? There's two things that the Bible talks about here, about who He is, and then one thing about what He's done. The Bible says that Jesus is everlasting God. In the beginning was the Word, another name for Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. But He says of the Son, "Your throne, O God, is forever." Hebrews 1, 9. In Revelation 1, 8, Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." This is who Jesus is. He was not a created being. He was God, He is God, and He forever will be God. The second person of the Trinity, God the Son. The ancient Christians said it like this: "We believe in one God and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, begotten of the Father as only begotten." That is from the essence of the Father. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not created, of the same essence of the Father, through whom all things came into being, both in heaven and on earth. But as Christians, we don't just believe that Jesus is God. That's not the whole picture of who Jesus is. And this is actually the point that the Christians of John's day were missing. God the Son, Jesus, became a true human in what is called the incarnation. Think Mexican food. I know some of y'all are headed up to Las Palmas today, all right? Carne asada, meat. Carne, meat. Incarnation, infleshing, or becoming meat. Colossians 2:9 says this: "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." I'm sorry, that's John 1:14. Colossians 2:9 says this: "For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." Philippians 2:5-7 says it this way: "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." In other words, He wasn't trying to get equal to God. He already had it. "But emptied Himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." In our day, Jesus is often considered a good teacher, a moral leader, a great example, but not God. Some have said that God came to a man called Jesus. In other words, Jesus is not God. God just came to Jesus. Others have even said that God the Father of the Old Testament became God the Son in the New Testament, and today is God the Spirit. All these things are common. You hear them on TV. You hear them in your workplaces. But the truth is, that's not what the Bible presents about Jesus. And this is the test that John gives us. Do you say that Jesus is God himself? As the ancient Christians put it, eternal God of eternal God. The same essence as the Father. But also completely human. He became a real person. When you pinched him, it hurt. He got hungry. He ate. And these are the tests. Do you believe both? Do you believe both? The reason these tests are so significant is that God, Jesus had to be both God and man to save us. John called Jesus the Messiah in here, the Christ, that Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah or anointed one has come to save us. He had to be man to take on our sin as high priest and live that perfect life pleasing to God. But he had to be God because we have proven, every single one of us, that we humans blow it completely. We are full of sin in and of ourselves. And so Jesus, the perfect God, could live the life we couldn't. But Jesus, the man, could take on our sin. He had to be both. If you miss one of these elements, you miss the message of the gospel. And that is why this is the test that John gives. Who do you say Jesus is? So let me ask you, if you've been a Christian 50 years, if you've been a Christian, or you haven't, you're not a Christian, you know that. Let me ask you this. Who do you say that Jesus is? Remember the passage Tom read with Peter? Jesus asked him, who do you say I am? I know what all these other people say. Who do you say that I am? And let me tell you, whether you've been in the church your whole life or you've never been here before, you just showed up today because somebody asked you and you weren't quite sure what you were getting yourself into, the most significant thing that you can ever know is who Jesus is and what Jesus did. We call that the gospel, the good news. So who do you believe Jesus is? Is he God and man? Came to live a perfect life and die a death for your sin. Did he raise to reign forever? Is that who you would say Jesus is? If it's not, there's a serious problem according to this text in Scripture. Because listen to where this test comes from, where the source of the false answer to this test comes from. In the second half of verse 3, it says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Did you catch that? We went from talking about what Jesus believes to end times and, as Joe said, at helicopters and what was it? Tim LaHaye conferences, okay? We just jumped. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, who you heard was coming and now is in the world already. You see, the source of a false teaching is, again, not just a wrong opinion, but actually a spiritual influence of the demonic sort. The source, the spirit of Antichrist, the devil and his demons. We're getting close to Halloween, and we see this grandized Hollywood evil out there, right? But it's all in the movies. It's set in a Hollywood scene. It's in the house, you know, the scare house or whatever it's called this year. It kind of lulls us into this false sense of security. We see, oh yeah, that's the goofy stuff, you know, the teenagers do at Halloween. Sorry, teenagers. I know most of y'all don't do that. But that's kind of how we think about it, right? Not a spiritual reality that's coming from the guy in the cubicle next to us. We've been inoculated. There's just enough of this spiritual stuff out there that we don't see the real demonic forces that are portraying lies. John says this is false teaching. And it's not merely physical, but spiritual. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world. Now, we're not talking about the end times and you know all the stuff that we could get into with the book of Revelation that God clearly reveals, but that's not the key of what John says. He says there's big A Antichrist, and then there's little A Antichrist, the people who are anti-Christ. Catch what he's doing here. He's saying they're saying something false about Christ, so guess what they are? Anti-Christ. It's because they're lying about him. They're against him. Just as if you were out there telling lies about John, you were saying, you know, he's skinny as a lick and, you know, drives a Prius, I would probably get a little upset. Not about the skinny as a lick. I could take that, but it's not true. You're anti-me. You're against me. And so if you're out there telling lies about Christ, you are anti-Christ. And listen to this. By the way, if I had a Prius and could get that kind of gas mileage, I would take it in a second. My 16 mile per gallon truck nearly kills me. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. But yeah, I'd take 40 miles a gallon any day. But these little antichrists are out there, and they're telling lies. And it's because they're from the Spirit that's putting those lies within them. People who fight against Jesus by their allegiance, people who fight against Jesus by their beliefs and their teachings, by their actions, there's a spiritual reality behind it. We are surrounded by competitors for our allegiance in worship. And anytime someone comes forth with a message that takes away from Christ, it's a spiritual reality that's horrible. So that's the source. Point four there. The results. What does this result in? Here's the fun part, all right? We got through the heavy stuff. Now let's get to the good stuff. The teaching you believe will change everything forever. On early December 7th, 1941, Privates Elliott and Lockhart saw a blip on one of the earliest radar screens. They interpreted this message as a flight of U.S. bombers coming into Honolulu. This mistake was passed on up the chain. The two privates passed it to a lieutenant. His name was Kermit Tyler. Kermit Tyler didn't become president like Dwight Eisenhower because he believed that message. Oh, it's just some U.S. bombers coming in. The message stopped with Lieutenant Kermit Tyler. If you know anything about history, you know exactly what the blip on that radar screen was. It was thousands of Japanese Zeros coming to bomb Pearl Harbor. The incident that started World War II. There was no warning. The warning was the bombs exploding because Lieutenant Kermit Tyler, who may be a great guy, believed a message. Had global consequences, didn't it? What we believe has a serious effect on our life. John, 1 John 4:4 tells us, as loved preschoolers, that's the word he uses there, that's the little children, that's how little he's talking about, that having faith in the true gospel cannot be underestimated. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, the Antichrist. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. A core mark of the believer from last week's sermon is that the empowering or the filling of God's Holy Spirit. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit He has given us. God Himself in you. And I don't know if you're like me, but I don't feel like I have the power of God living in me most nights. I mean, I go to sleep on the pillow and I think, boy, I've messed it up again today. But the reality that we can't see, just like we can't see the reality of those false teachers and the message they're getting, is that God's Holy Spirit dwells in us. Church, that's good news. That is very good news. Listen to this. John says that the believer has embraced the gospel, the message from the Holy Spirit, and he has already overcome the Antichrist. Did you catch it? In the past tense verb, it's already done. You have overcome them. Listen to this. He says it some other ways. This word overcomer. It's, by the way, the word Nike, like the shoe, except they said it Nike. But Nike, it's the word for victor or conqueror. Revelation 2:7 says this. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers or overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. It says this again. And they have conquered him. It's the devil himself. That's who this is talking about. By the blood of the Lamb and their word of the testimony. What's the testimony? what we've just talked about. Jesus is God, man, died for sin and rose again. For they loved not their lives even to death, Revelation 12:11. This is so amazing. John 4:6 says this, we are from God. Can you imagine that? You don't just have to say as a believer, yeah, I'm from Miami, Oklahoma, small town in northeast Oklahoma. I'm from God. That's really my destination. That's really my origin. I came from Him. Do you get the amazement of that statement? Us mortal weaklings, full of sin, He's changed who we are. We are from God. Whoever listens to God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Listen to a little bit more of this victory that Jesus has. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered, and I sat down by my Father's throne. And they, this is the world now, this is a different they, will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and those with him are called chosen and faithful, Revelation 17:4. There's not an athlete out there who can really be a spokesperson for Nike. The true Nike, that true Vicky victory. There's been lots of them. The first one, by the way, and I got to give a shout out to my wife, was a Romanian, not an American. It was Ilya, and I'm going to mess this name up. I'm going to look at it so I don't goof up, because she'd be mad at me. Ilya Nastase, okay? He was the first one. The famous one that was first that we know about is Prefontaine, a track runner, Joe. I'm sure you've been very happy with him. But when I was a kid, who was a spokesperson for Nike? Michael Jordan. Man, he was cool. Let me tell you, I was no good at basketball. I couldn't shoot worth a lick, but it was okay because I'm really slow, so I wouldn't get there anyway. But I even wanted Jordan shoes. I mean, that was even cool. I couldn't. There is no basketball for me, and I thought those shoes were cool. We were looking for shoes last night, and there were Jordans, and I just kind of got this smile on my face. I remember that. But no, that's not victory. That's not a winner. Listen to this. I've lost my place. I want to read you a quote because it's so awesome. I'm so disappointed in myself. Here we go. Eric Mason, a guy, said this about Jesus. Eric Mason said, knowing that Jesus got up from the grave after such a savage and brutal martyrdom should make us as men pump our fist in the air in worship. Is that how you think about Jesus? Think about what he did. Here before us is a man who was man enough to drink in death and spit out victory. That's a powerful, powerful quote. Folks, Jesus is not just a simple man. He is the man. He is the man, the victor, the conqueror. So think about this. Let's read verse 5 now. They, so there's us, and then there's them. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. But we are from God. Folks, the call here, the application of this, is which side are you on? Whose message have you believed? Are you the side of the overcomers or of the overcome? This is a serious, scary passage for someone who doesn't know the truth about Jesus. Look at the very last verse. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. By this question, so let me ask you the question. Do you have that Eisenhower kind of belief? Yeah, God, Jesus, that's good. Or is there a reality in your heart and a reality in your soul that says Jesus Christ is God? Jesus Christ is the man who came down. He is real. He died for my sin. He died for my sin. And he rose again. Do you believe that gospel? And this is not just a question for you. Yes, I did that when I was 12. Yes, I did that when I was 9. Yes, I did that when I was 30. Yes, I did that. No. This is a question for today. Because when you're sitting in bed and you're thinking, I can't face that tomorrow, this is when the gospel applies. Yes, you believed then, but you need to believe today. Because Jesus Christ was that God-man who made the righteous way, who is the righteous way for you tomorrow when you wake up and have to face the hard day at work. Have to face whatever it is, whether it's an angry boss, a failure that you know was your own fault, whether it's a struggle in your marriage. Christ has done enough. And the test for you today is, do you really believe that? What is your confession in that moment? NASCAR drivers crack me up. Because they win the race. Okay, so they win the race, and then they do this interview, and you can't understand a word they said. It was great. We ran fast, and we turned left, you know, all those kinds of things. And then at the very end, they always throw in, and praise God. And it's just this kind of America, here we go. That's not Christianity. Do you believe the true message, the true gospel? The test is not, is the preacher wearing a suit? The test is not, is the preacher wearing flannel? The test is not any of those. It is, what do they say about Jesus? And let me put it in your ballpark. What do you say about Jesus? We're going to pray. The worship team's going to come back up. Chad's going to lead us in one more song. We're going to sing. For you, it may be, yes, I've known about Jesus. I like Jesus. I've liked him. I mean, he's Jesus. But you have never trusted Jesus. For some of you, you may have been a Christian a long time. You say, yes, I actually believe that about Jesus, but man, this kind of went over my head today. Let me tell you, get in the Scriptures. How are you going to know truth from error if you're not in the Scriptures and you don't know the gospel? Believer, it may be the day you've known the gospel, but that overcomer thing doesn't feel very real. Believer, maybe you need to start believing the gospel again and continue believing the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Lord, as we sing now, Father, I don't know what's going on in folks' hearts. Whether they just need a word of encouragement of you have made them an overcomer, not because they're good, but because you are good. You are adequate, Jesus. You are more than adequate. Lord, maybe someone needs to trust you. Maybe someone needs to say, hey, I've been a believer and there's been no substance here. But Jesus, I trust you today. I'm going to go on believing. Lord, maybe there's someone who needs to join the church. We pray that you would work in every one of their hearts. Pray that you would touch them and change them today through your word. God, we love you. We thank you. May we worship you now, the true Jesus, the God-man who came to save us. We give you all praise. We give you all glory, for you rose from the dead, Jesus. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.